Okay, as I'm getting set up here, you can open in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 3. We will be continuing our reading of the Lord's Word together as His church. As I try this again. There we go. Okay. So if you would please stand as we read God's Word together, 1 Samuel chapter 3. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli, and word from the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent, and it happened at that time as Eli was lying down in his place. Now his eyesight had begun to grow dim, and he could not see well, and the lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. That the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am." Then he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he answered, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor had the word of the Lord yet been revealed to him. So the Lord called Samuel again for the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli discerned that the Lord was calling the boy. And Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Then the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for thy servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day I will carry out against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knew, because his sons brought a curse on themselves, and he did not rebuke them. And therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." So Samuel lay down until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. But Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he said, "Here I am." And he said, "What is the word that he spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all the words that he spoke to you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." Thus Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of us fail. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, because the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Thus reads the word of God, and you may be seated. 1 Samuel 3:1. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli, and word from the Lord was rare in those days. visions were infrequent. In our last sessions, we considered the prayer of Hannah for her son Samuel. There was a blessing upon him from the time of his conception onward. Samuel was intended by the Lord to be one of the great prophets of Israel, who would be the last of the judges and the kingmaker over the nation. God would lead Samuel to found the Davidic kingly order, which would eventually be fulfilled in the birth, crucifixion, resurrection, and glorification of our Lord Jesus Christ. This was a huge responsibility that would be upon this chosen prophet of God, as evidenced even in his youth. There are several aspects about Samuel that we should consider in the depths of our hearts. We are given statements in the Word of God which are causes for us to pause in consideration of what we really expect and know about our relationship with God within the intricate fabric of our hearts and our minds. These are not just elements that should be read and then discarded as merely interesting in their breadth and scope of what the Lord was doing. They show what God is still doing in Jesus Christ by the awesome power of the Holy Spirit. The first such element that is before us is the oh-so-consequential declaration of 1 Samuel 2:11. 1 Samuel 2:11. Then Elkanah went to his home at Ramah, but the boy ministered to the Lord before Eli the priest. We have the fact that the family went home, leaving Samuel to minister to the Lord under the tutelage of Eli the priest. Samuel was set into this place of service as detailed in Hannah's prayer, from the time before even the conception of this child. Hannah had besought the Lord with the promise of her son's perpetual service unto Jehovah. The key aspect to this is the fact that Samuel was ministering to the Lord. There was no other plan for him. He was dedicated to and placed into this service by the willing commitment of his parents and the child and Eli the priest. All was set in the manner in which Jehovah would find satisfaction, complete satisfaction, throughout the course of the service of Samuel as he ministered to the Lord. Does this so work in our hearts with respect to how many of us there are of whom it could be said that we minister to the Lord? Yes, Samuel was accounted as a judge and as a prophet. But that distinction is based on the truth that he was ministering to the Lord in dedication and reverence and obedience and honor unto God. There was something in his heart which caused him to set everything of his life before the Lord, as it was supported and encouraged by his parents. But what about you and me? Can the same be said of us in our relationship with God? Are we ministering to the Lord in the way that our lives are lived on this earth? We are all called to to be the priest of God in the course of our daily walk on this earth. Consider exactly what we are told by the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 2, 9 through 12. Please open to this declarative state or passage as we read it together. 1 Peter 2, 9 through 12. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, on account of your good deeds as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. This is the course of our ministering unto the Lord in our lives, as each day progresses. It is a ministry of laying down our lives for the sake of the glory of God to be evidenced on the earth through those whom He has chosen and whom He has called unto Himself. It is moment by moment, day by day, week by week, month by month, year after year, decade upon decade, ministering to the goodness and the grace and the mercy and the love of God, no matter what the road, no matter what the cost, no matter how much death to self is involved. As we see, returning back to our consideration of Samuel in 1 Samuel 3:15 through 18, this young boy was required to share the word of God to Levi, the priest, who was responsible for Samuel's training. This included the truth of having to report everything that God had told Samuel in those night hours. Although there was the fear in opening of his mouth, Samuel was being shown that he must relate what God had for him to say, no matter how that word of the Lord might be received. Be it before Eli the priest, or later Saul the king, Samuel had to learn to always speak that which God bade him to proclaim. 1 Samuel 3:15 through 18. So Samuel lay down until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. But Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he said, "Here I am." And he said, "What is the word that he spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all the words that he spoke to you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." The result of this obedience to Jehovah and to the delivery of the Word of God was developed through instances such as the one we just indicated. Samuel, as the prophet of God, was coming into this ministry at a time when there was very little word given by God, as is indicated by this morning's passage. And word from the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent. This was a very bad state of affairs with regard to the nation of God, in that they were not hearing from the Lord. This was mostly due to the fact that they did not want to hear. They were set in their idolatry, and they did not want to be reminded of their apostasy. That is the case with so many of us when we are caught up in the idols of our age, with all manner and means which serve to only distract and to derail our desire for going on in Jesus Christ. There is no listening to the Lord, so it seems that God withdraws His holy word for a period of time until we are famished and thirsting and ready and willing and able to hear that which pricks at the very core of our faithlessness unto God. What becomes very evident in this chapter then is the lack of the Word of God at the beginning until Samuel begins to minister to the Lord. He hears the Lord calling to him and does not realize that it is the Lord until Eli makes it known as part of his training process into the priesthood. Eli discerned that Samuel was being called by the Lord, a discernment and a call that Eli had lost because of his lack of dedication and consecration unto the Lord. That is required by all who would want to and who desire to hear from God. Then, by the end of chapter 1, First Samuel 3, 19 through 21, the Lord's presence was once again active because there was the priest who wanted to minister before him in faithfulness and honor and reverence. Accordingly, the Lord made the every word of Samuel to come to pass, because Samuel treasured the word of God in his heart and mind. The people recognized that the Lord was with Samuel and that he was a true prophet of God by whom the Lord would speak forth his holy word. 1 Samuel 3, 19 through 21. Thus Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fail. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, because the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Let us now consider another who was known by the fact that the Lord was with him. This was the shepherd boy David, who would eventually be anointed by the prophet Samuel as king over all Israel. In Samuel 18, 12 through 16, the picture is that of the first king, Saul, who had lost the spirit of the Lord's anointing. This was because of Saul's hatred and anger and selfish apostasy before God and the people whom he was chosen to guide. Saul recognized that what he had lost was bestowed upon this David, whom Saul had even brought into his very home. The jealousy and the reproach of the Lord clouded the mind of this first king of Israel. 1 Samuel 18:12-16. Now Saul was afraid of David, for the Lord was with him, but had departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from his presence and appointed him as his commander of 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David was prospering in all his ways, for the Lord was with him. When Saul saw that he was prospering greatly, he dreaded him. But all Israel and Judah loved David, and he went out and came in before them. It was readily apparent to Saul that the Lord was with David. It was the Lord who was prospering David in all his ways. That was what was so irksome to Saul. It brought forth all the anger and the animosity and the jealousy because it was something that Saul had squandered away frivolously. This was in utter disregard for the holiness and the sanctity and the splendor of serving the Lord with all his heart and mind and being. To see how Jehovah was blessing this shepherd boy in such abundance drove Saul to the brink of insanity. At the same time, God made the people love David all the more, just as with Samuel, the people knew that God was with David. Then it is the son of David who next brings forth what we need to hold near and dear in our heart with respect to the presence of the Lord with us. Please open in your Bibles to 1 Kings 8, 54-61, where we have the account of the dedication of the temple that was built by King Solomon. 1 Kings 8, 54-61. And it came about that when Solomon had finished praying this entire prayer and supplication to the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread toward heaven, and he stood and blessed all the assembly of Israel with a loud voice, saying, "Blessed be the Lord, who has given rest to his people Israel, according to all that he promised. Not one word has failed of all his good promise, which he promised through Moses his servant. May the Lord our God be with us, as he was with our fathers. May he not leave us or forsake us, that he may incline our hearts to himself, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his ordinances, which he commanded our fathers. And may these words of mine, with which I have made supplication before the Lord, be near to the Lord our God, day and night, that he may maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel as each day requires, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God, there is no one else. Let your heart therefore be fully devoted to the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at this day." This is the absolute encouragement to all of us to guard our hearts and our minds in Jesus Christ against anything that would distract us from being wholly committed to minister to the Lord every day of our lives. As we began this morning, we were faced with the terrible reality that the people at the time of Samuel's being prepared as the prophet of the Lord were not hearing from God very much at all. There was no evident reception or desire after that which the Lord had to say to his nation. Even Eli the priest had lost that ear, as was evidenced in this opening declaration. And word from the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent. This hearing of the word of God is something that we must cherish. We need to regard it as vital for each day as we walk on this earth. Note as at stake within this relationship that God has put into place with us. It was so vitally pointed out by Solomon. May the Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. May he not leave us or forsake us, that he may incline our hearts to himself, to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his ordinances which he commanded our fathers. We risk the loss of knowing that the Lord is with us if we are faithless in our desire and our dedication unto him and unto his word. Our hearts need to embrace and to cherish the every opportunity to hold to the Lord and to listen to him and to obey him. This is not just for our sake, but as Solomon continues, that he may maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel as each day requires, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God. There is no one else. Let your heart therefore be wholly devoted to the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at this day. What is at stake within this entire consideration is the testimony of the Lord within the lives of those whom he chooses unto himself. We are the express witness of the difference that Jesus makes in those whom he has redeemed at the priceless cost of his precious blood, and in whom the Holy Spirit now dwells. This is not just a matter of hearing the word and then filing it away as something that makes no difference in us today. It is the essential requisite of how we feed upon and are nourished and sustained and revitalized and established as the people of God now and evermore. The testimony that we present on this earth fundamentally adds to the majesty and the splendor and the honor and the reverence of the Lord as evidenced in our eternal adoration of his glory. May it never be said of us that which was so tersely proclaimed by the psalmist in Psalm 74:9. Psalm 74:9. We do not see our signs. There is no longer any prophet, nor is there any among us who knows how long. Hold on to the Lord with all our heart and mind and being. Cherish His Word as He opens up His truth through the ministry of the Holy Spirit within the innermost fabric of our beings. Beseech the Holy Spirit to teach us to be those priests who will so minister to the Lord. So be it. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli, and word from the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent. Amen.